My mama told me, you have to be who you want him to be. And I became who I wanted him to be. Someone who pressed, someone who looked at obstacles and walked over them. Or if I met a no, I learned how, and I teach him, taught him how to look at no as not no, but another way of getting at it.
Welcome to the Raising the STEAM podcast, hosted by M. Ross, where we're dedicated to raising the STEAM leaders of tomorrow. Discover inspiring stories, lessons learned, and actionable insights from the worlds of science, technology, engineering, art, mathematics, and medicine. Connect with us and a community of dedicated parents, educators, and STEAM supporters at raisingthesteam.com and at Raising the STEAM on social media. Together, let's ignite curiosity and drive change.
Welcome to the Raising the STEAM podcast. I'm your host, M. Ross. Today, I am with an incredible nurse, nurse educator, parent of a nurse, and my cousin, who's like a sister to me, Erica McNair, or as I've always called her my whole life, Erica. Erica, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Manus. It's good to see you.
Right. So you've worked as a nurse for many years, and throughout that time, you worked in a bunch of different roles and specialties, right?
Yes. So when I started out in nursing, what gave me an interest in nursing is I was working as a correctional officer. Well, some kind of way I got assigned to go with all the inmates to their surgeries, doctor's appointments and everything. So I was handcuffed to them. And so I decided I could do this. And so I went to nursing school, graduated in 2000. At first, when I got out of nursing school, I really wanted to get, I met this one nurse and I was like, I want to know everything you know. And so she kind of told me the path. She said, you need to work in med-surg and you need to work in cardiac. So I started out as a med-surg cardiac nurse. During the time, 24 years ago, we had to read our own monitors. We didn't have like a war room where people called us on a red phone. So that was quite interesting. Became charge nurse very quick. After that, actually, my grandmother got sick and I left med-surg cardiac for 6 months, the duration of my grandmother's life. She was moved to a nursing home. And so I went there so that I could keep an eye on her. Immediately came back to the hospital, worked years in med-surg cardiac. My next stint with nursing was I went to home health and hospice. And, you know, that's when you go into the home and gives you a lot of autonomy to really take care of the patients, which really satisfied me. I built relationships. I'm kind of a people person. And I did hospice for a while. After that, I went to labor and delivery for years, and that was a blessing for me. It gave me the opportunity to see people across the lifespan from every aspect, from those who were prepared for birth to those who had been forced into birth by maybe rape or molestation or something like that. Then after that, well, during that time, I also taught school. I taught high school students to become CNAs. And I'm so glad to say that many of them are nurses today and they are great nurses. And my next stint after that was nursing care management, where I was a nurse that was the bridge between the hospital and home, or in pregnancy care management, between a patient that was at high risk of losing their child, losing their pregnancy, and them being able to keep it. So somewhat a nurse facilitator.
Okay. And so can you tell me a little bit more about your actual educational journey? How did that go?
So my actual educational journey, I started as an ADN nurse, which means I went to a community college for 2 years and I got my 2-year degree, tested for the NCLEX and became an RN, which is great for me because I was a single parent at the time. A 4-year degree would have required too much for me at that time. So then later on, I went for another year and I had pretty much other classes. I had taken classes along the way and completed my BSN. I do have a master's, but my master's is in divinity. And I'm also certified.
I remember that. I remember when you were going through that first stage when, you know, you were a single mother, and that was pretty tough, huh?
That was one of the toughest periods in my life. I actually was a single mother of a son, and he really was my motivator to really go to nursing school. One time my mother told me, you have to be what you want your child to become. So I worked really hard to be able to go to nursing school. I actually had to quit my job at the prison. Most of my classmates had their prerequisites, but I didn't. So I had to do it all at one time. I had to actually go on public assistance, which was fine for me for the time because it was just my stepping stone. And I knew I wouldn't always be there. Somebody else would need it after me. And I had one classmate who I have to shout out. His name was Errol Locklear. And during that time, it was so tight that the school system my son was in, he was very, very young, required that they have clear book bags. I didn't even have the money to buy him a clear book bag. I remember telling my friend, just platonically, and he bought his clear book bag. I was the nurse liaison. I wasn't able to afford to go on the trips that they went on. That friend was military retired. He paid for me to go on trips. I was the voice of my class. And it was a difficult journey, but I made it. I went in to be an RN, and I left an RN.
Yeah, and that's that child, that little child you're talking about, he's a nurse now, right?
He is. He's actually teaching at UNC Chapel Hill. His name is Patrick Lance McMurray. He has a website, Pat Mac RN, and he is working on his doctorate. And in about 2 years we should have Dr. Patrick McMurray.
That is awesome. Yes. So, I mean, when did he first start expressing interest in being a nurse?
Well, just looking at my life, he's always had a concern for people. But until he was in the 11th grade, he thought he wanted to do the psychological part of it. So he thought about psychology. He came to me his 11th grade summer. He was like, Mom, I changed my mind. I want to be a nurse like you. I was like, Patrick, this is the last minute. Thankfully, I was able to talk with the administration. He was able to take the classes he needed. He during the classes, he completed his CNA. He graduated from high school, went right into nursing school, was a nurse before he was 21 years old. And ironically, he started out as a cardiac nurse, a cardiac ICU nurse. So he's a very smart guy. My mama told me, you have to be who you want him to be. And I became who I wanted him to be. Someone who pressed, someone who looked at obstacles and walked over them. Or if I met a no, I learned how, and I taught him how to look at no as not no, but another way of getting at it. So, yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, what would you tell other parents who have a child that's interested in something in healthcare?
I would tell them to link them with every resource that they could. I would encourage them to talk to the guidance counselors, read most. Another thing with Patrick that was good was in most schools in North Carolina are like this. In your junior and senior year, you can take classes free from the community college and test and get credits for them. So he had college credits before he even got out of school. I was very hands-on with his guidance counselor. His guidance counselor, still, he sees me. Hey, Miss Irakia, how are you doing? You know, I went to school. I didn't leave his future up to chance because we can't. Because if we leave our children's future up to chance, then it could go anywhere. And I wanted to not lord over him, but to direct him. And it is necessary to direct, and I encourage parents, go to school, talk to your children. We even took like career assessment tests that were free to see what they might like to do. I have another child, and you can't assume that your child wants to do what you want to do, but you look at their qualities and you do what you can do to enhance their qualities. So that's the kind of parent that I've tried to be. Even at a young age, I had him at 20. I was like, what the hell are you doing with this baby? And this baby is he could take care of me now. As a matter of fact, he did. He winded up having to take care of me at one point.
So, you know, Patrick and yourself, you both are just naturally smart people, curious people. But, you know, so that's sort of things y'all are born with. So, but in your opinion, what do you think is more important, that nature, those kind of natural gifts you have, or the nurture, your environment and other things that are around you?
Well, I think that I cannot confine myself to one. I would have to do a combination of two, because my environment while I was growing up wasn't really optimal. And I didn't always have an optimal environment for Patrick. I read to him. I took him to the bookstore, but I really nurtured him. And I told him, you can do whatever you want to do. He even one time thought he had a problem with math. He'll still say it too. And I just simplified. I made his problem. I was like, well, there's really not a problem. Isn't a multiple choice question? He's like, yes. And I'm like, well, the answer is on the sheet. He was like, oh, yeah, mama, the answer is on the sheet. So I think it's a combination. Reinforcing, being kind, being open, but still setting guidelines. I had to set borders for him. And environment. I do believe that environment plays a part in it, because I was very careful about who kept my child. Being a single parent, I had to wait a long time before I got a chance to go to a club, because my mother was adamant. Okay, I'll keep him for you to work or for you to go to school, but I'm not fitting to keep this baby for you to go clubbing. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
So I had to make an environment that was fun for him. I mean, we made tents out of sheets, and I didn't have any money. And chairs, which you can still do to get today. That's fun, you know. When I did get extra money, I got scholarships and stuff. One thing I didn't do, I told him, you cannot play video games until you can read like I can read. So he could read like I could read by the time he was 7 or 8 years old. But by that time, he wasn't interested in video games. And he just asked me 2 years ago to buy him a video game. But we went to Barnes and Nobles every other week, because I got paid every other week. And he had $10 to spend that he could get a book with. If the book wasn't $10, we save it and put it on the next book, because that's all I could afford. And we would spend hours in Barnes and Nobles and reading stories. And yeah, and if we're going to talk about nature and nurture meeting, like, we would read stories together at home, and I would make the environment come alive. Like, if we were reading about, you know, somebody living outside, I'd make the tent. I would, you know, get us food and put it on the floor. And we had this little green turf carpet that was like we were outside. I took in places mentally and that I couldn't take him physically. Yeah.
Interesting. And so he's huge on books now. I know he's a huge reader, right?
Oh my goodness. This man has so many books. And I recently stayed with him, and I was like looking through one of his bins with the book, and he let me know very clearly, Mama, you're not getting one of my books. He has no less than 500.
No, I know for sure. Definitely, easily. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, nursing, it's evolving like every other field. A lot of attention lately has been on artificial intelligence, AI, and how it might affect all the different fields that are out there, either directly or indirectly. How do you see that possibly affecting nursing?
Well, AI, any type of intelligence is great. But a physical nurse, in my opinion, cannot be replaced, because an artificial device can tell you to do this and that. But nursing is not about just giving medications, making diagnosis. Nursing is about linking people and linking things. And nursing, sometimes the pill is rubbing somebody's back. Sometimes the pill is sitting at somebody's bedside when they don't have anybody to visit. That can never be replaced.
Okay.
Sometimes what is evidence-based practice, well, most of the time, it's great. But sometimes the link between citizen science and evidence-based practice is phenomenal. What my grandma taught me, what they taught me a long time ago, if the pill doesn't work, making a heating pad, of course, you would be careful not to burn the patient or anything like that to help ease the pain. Using homeopathic methods. Nursing is a combination of things. If my patient is in pain, the medicine is not working, sometimes it's a warm blanket coming out of the warmer. AI can't go get a warm blanket, I don't think. If it does get it, can it adequately put it across the patient and tell the patient, I'm here for you anytime that you need me? AI is good. Bring the technology on, but don't replace humanity.
So, I mean, personally, how has the experiences or how have the experiences you had in nursing, how's that affected your personal growth and perspective just in general in your life?
Well, when I first started out, when I got out of high school, I actually worked with people, adults with developmental disorders. Then I actually went to the prison and then I went to nursing. I personally feel that I've seen people from every avenue. I'm sure there's some more that I could see, but from most avenues, I got a chance to see humanity. I got a chance to see their good times and bad times. I got a chance to see that a person that presents with different medical disorders may appear to be someone who just wants to abuse their body, but their mind has been abused, or their psyche has been abused. They've been abused years in their life, and they may be doing things to anesthetize the pain that they have. I think that all of my experience together has taught me to love humanity, has taught me that I'm no different than the man that is homeless on the street. I'm no different from the person that has been in the psychiatric ward. I mean, I've been minutes away too when I felt like things were falling apart in my life. But nursing has given me an opportunity to learn how to bridge the gap between knowing and doing, not only for myself, but for my patient, not only for my patient, but for my family, not only for my family, but for anybody that reaches out for me.
No, and I can definitely testify you live that. Those aren't just words. So, you know, I've seen you sort of live that directly. So, but looking back, if you could give your younger self advice, what would you tell yourself, especially, you know, as you started on your journey to becoming a nurse?
If I could go back to my younger self, I would have left high school and went right to nursing school. I would have started earlier. I would have combined nursing probably with, I would probably have not only a MSW, be like a MSN, but I would have a MSW. So I would be a nurse, sir. I would definitely be a nurse, but I would be a social worker too. I would link those two together.
Yeah, no.
Because both are needed, you know. And I've worked with some social workers that are awesome. And I realized that nursing and social work really meet the needs of humanity. And I would keep the teaching aspect of it too, because learning is the biggest room in the world. Improvement is an even bigger room. And I think all of those elements together would only make me better, would only make me, it would make me more accessible. It would give me the opportunity to not only do hands-on medication, but also psychological medication.
So, I mean, you've talked a lot about some of the more intangible things that come along with being a nurse. And so the podcast is focused on STEAM areas. And so that's science, technology, engineering, art, mathematics. And our first episode was with my wife, Adia, who we questioned, is medicine a part of STEAM? You know, and I felt like it's sort of a combination of all of them together. And Adia agreed and also said that, you know, it might be able even to be directly put into engineering. But, you know, the art part is what I think you've talked a lot about. Not obviously drawing pictures and such, but some of those intangible things that come along with patient care and medicine and nursing. So can you talk a little bit about what you think about that, those intangibles, the sort of art piece that comes along with working in something like nursing?
Are you talking about pulling together like science, technology?
Just the art part. When I say art, I don't mean art necessarily drawing pictures and things of that nature, but sort of the intangible sort of people skills and the things that you're kind of touching on around just showing people you care for them and some of the sort of things that come along with interacting with people, those sort of soft skills and things of that nature that come along with patient care and nursing.
Yes, I can talk about them. Being a nurse has taught me how close to get to a person or when they're going to allow me into their space. You know, being a nurse has taught me when it's appropriate to touch, when it's appropriate to just meet the basic needs of a person, like, or when a person is ready to open up. It's taught me to assess my patient from the minute I meet them, which that's what I do with people anyway. When I meet a person, I'm looking at them head to toe, and just it's just second nature. I'm looking at them, and I can pretty much tell you a lot about them. It kind of makes me like an investigator. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If I could say that. I'm walking into a room and I'm assessing everything. Is it okay for me to enter close to the bed? It teaches me respect for people, because what I know is no matter how much education I have, I can't second guess the person who doesn't have any secular education. They're some of the smartest people there are. They may not have had the opportunity that I had, but I don't go in and just assume, okay, this person doesn't understand me. I also don't go in with jargon or just language that would intimidate a person. Like, say, for instance, if you were my patient and I would say, we want to make sure that you don't have any edema or swelling to your belly, because sometimes swelling to your belly indicates to us that there may be something cardiac or heart going on, or something renal. People don't know what renal is, or kidney going on. And my concern is, have you been having any swelling? It's taught me how to make myself be educated. I love science. I am definitely a science. I love technology, because I love to be able to give people things that they can read and they can follow up on it. I love to bring these things together, but it also makes me able to explain it to the 90-year-old woman who would not explain. It helps me be able to connect her with somebody, even though she may be at home alone and she can't see to do her medicines. If she has a certain type of insurance, then I can make sure somebody's coming in that home and making the pill bottles. When you say art, it really blesses me, because I'm going to look at art in nursing. It really is an art. You have to paint the picture for each patient. And if I had to go back, my paintings, I couldn't number them. And I'm so blessed that I'm able to be an artist and I'm able to paint pictures for people that are hurting. Young mothers that have come in that are, my youngest patient was 11 years old and she had been molested. And she sat in her father's lap the whole time. And she had to go to C-section and have her baby. We did special things for her. We brought her special things. And so even though she was at the worst part of her life, we were able to paint a picture. Just nurses, nursing assistants, doctors, just everybody, pediatrician, because she needed pediatrics and her baby needed pediatrics, that you can make it. There's hope after this. So I am an artist. Thanks for letting me know that.
Awesome. Well, Erica, I mean, thank you so much. I really, really do appreciate you speaking with me. And this was, I think it's going to be really helpful for people. So, you know, thank you so much.
If I could say it, never give up. Whatever you want, keep going after it. Chase it. I mean, if there's not one way, there's another way. Research, look it up. That's where technology really comes in. We can find help. We can find money. We can find avenues, people that are really willing to pour into us. Never give up. Keep fighting.
Absolutely.
William Ernest Hensley said, out of the night that covers me, black as a pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods there be for my unconquerable soul. In the felt clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head, it is bloody, but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the years. I had to stop there. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. That's Invictus. And I speak Invictus just out to everybody.
Powerful. Well, thanks again, Erica. It's been great having you here. All right. Take care.
Thank you for letting me come.